Good morning, Sunrise Church. My name is Pastor Anthony.
And I'm Pastor John, and I couldn't be more excited, Pastor, to be in your home on Father's Day, bringing this to everyone else's home.
You know, I'm excited as well, and it's such a blessing on this day, Father's Day. Those who are fathers, those who are standing in forefathers, we want to thank you, we want to bless you. And after service between 1 and 3 at all our campuses, we have a special treat for you.
Yeah, I heard it's nachos. That's a great treat.
Great treat.
That's got to be on the top 5 list of Father's Best Snacks.
Oh.
Yeah, so
all the way.
Come out for that for sure. So what do we have today, Pastor Anthony?
You know, we're going to continue our series in Waiting Well. And what's amazing about Waiting Well simply is that I've been hearing many comments about how this series has changed your life, how things are happening, and it's just a great thing.
And I think part of that is people resonate with this theme because waiting is inevitable. It's just a normal part of life, right?
Correct.
We all go through it.
Correct. It's unavoidable.
Right.
So it's the question is, how do you respond in the waiting? Yeah. Do you have a story or an example or an experience you had?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I had a period of waiting in my life recently that was actually following the greatest fail of my life. And I'm going to tell you about it, but a little bit later. Because in TV, that's what they call a tease.
I get it.
So in the meantime, how about you, Pastor Anthony?
You know, I have so many situations where I had to wait, but the one that comes to my mind is this last season in my life. In 2012, God told me and assured me that I was going to go into full-time ministry, but I was also a police officer. So I had to wait 7 years, a lot of bumps and turns, a lot of ups and downs. But at the end of the day, 2019, I'm here.
You're here and we're here. And I couldn't be more fired up to talk today and to share with everyone what we're gonna talk about with waiting and just deciding how we wait and how to wait better. I'm so excited that I brought you a gift. I brought you this towel because I know, Pastor Anthony, when you preach, you're gonna get worked up.
Oh yeah.
Beads might start to form. So I wanted to give this to you so you can be ready.
It's time to get busy.
All right, let's
Amen.
Do it.
I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 27:13. Waiting is an inevitable part of living. How do you wait? Do you pace around the room? Do you endlessly check your watch? Or do you try to do everything in your power to just keep yourself distracted? You know, whenever I wait, I've got to lock in on this one truth. My God will come through. This waiting is not going to last forever. So instead of sitting around and doing nothing, I need to get myself ready, knowing that the question is not, will my God come through, but when will my God come through? This is preparing in the waiting. All of us wait, but are we waiting well?
Well, let me start today with a question. Does waiting on God mean that you have to sit still with your hands folded, right? Does it mean that you're passive? Is it a passive experience? Or is there more that we can do while we're waiting? One of the things that we've already heard in this series over the first couple of weeks is that there is meaning in the waiting. And then last week we heard that our first response, our initial response in the waiting should be worship. What I want to do today is we're going to talk about how to prepare in the waiting. And in order to do that, to unpack that, we're going to take a look at a guy named Noah, who was a father, by the way. And so what's great about Noah is that he's a man who lived in an unprecedented time. A little bit like our own, dealing with a virus and dealing with some tensions and other things. Noah was dealing with something that no one has ever seen since. In fact, we're not even seeing it in our day, and it might surprise you. But we find Noah's story very early in the Bible. He's actually located in Genesis chapter 6. His story begins there. So we only have 5 chapters of the Bible to start with, and we already get to Noah. What's interesting, let me set the stage, is that in the first couple chapters, we see God speaking the world into existence. I mean, literally, God speaks, let there be light, creation begins, and we have this incredible story in the first couple chapters of God creating a paradise and even creating people and all the animals and everything else in it. And the most important part of that story is when it's all done, God says, it's very good. God is excited about what he's done. I sense almost he blessed himself, right? He's like, I outdid myself. and he brings this great perfect creation. But you know Noah's in chapter 6. Now here's the thing. within a couple of chapters, after chapters 1 and 2, we see chapter 3, the fall, and then in chapters 4 and 5, we see this decline in culture. It got so bad that Adam and Eve, first of all, get kicked out of paradise. They're evicted out. Later on, we have these two chapters, 9 generations, about 1,500 years, and we find ourselves in a world that is filled with violence, sexual impurity, injustice, oppression, idolatry. It got so bad that in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, as we open Noah's story, it says that the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Can you imagine that? It was so bad that there was never a moment in time where evil wasn't being considered, thought, lived out. And it got so bad that in verse 6, the very next verse in Genesis 6, it says that it grieved the Lord to his heart. Now, I don't know if you've ever lived with a broken heart. I don't know if you've ever had your heart broken. But what this text is telling us is that creation broke God's heart. And if you're like me, when I had my heart broken, all of my emotions were crippled. My dreams were ripped out. They were broken. I didn't think there was ever going to be another day as a result. And even for God, he was so devastated that he made a statement that may even surprise you if you don't know the story of Noah. In verse 7, he says, "I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race that I have created, for I regret that I have made them." God got to a point where he was going to pull the plug on the entire creation experience. And in the midst of this tension walks Noah. And what we read about Noah in the next statement is that, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. See, did you catch that? See, we go from verse 7 to verse 8, from verse 7 saying the entire planet is going to be extinct. That everybody who's, every human, every animal, everything else gone. We go from that to this but. And praise God for buts in stories. Because of Noah, we go to a place where Noah finds favor with God and gives the entire human race a second chance. Because God changes a little bit and says, well, okay, we're not going to wipe everybody out. We're going to wipe everybody out except Noah. Now, what's amazing is, why did Noah find favor? The reason Noah found favor is in Genesis 6, 9, where it says, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, number one. He was blameless among the people of his time, number two, and he walked faithfully with God. How did Noah become those things in a wicked generation is the question we ask.
Yeah.
He's surrounded by wickedness. It's so bad that God's ready to quit on everything. And Noah is able to be righteous and blameless and walk faithfully with God. Why? I think it's because Noah made a firm decision to follow God. I think it's because in his heart and his mind, he made a choice that was non-negotiable. I think it's because he made an intentional, conscious decision to pursue a life that is lived by the sole purpose of knowing and pleasing God. Now, you may think to yourself, well, I've made that decision, but sometimes we may not have made that decision. In fact, in Joshua later, much later in the story of Israel, Joshua makes this comment to the people of Israel when he says in Joshua 24, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness." You would think they would because they were God's people. But he goes on and says, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve." There comes a point in everyone's life where they must put a flag in the ground and say, "I'm going to follow God," or "I'm going to do life my own way," or "I'm going to do life the way the rest of the world is going to do it." And for Noah, and even here, Joshua, he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Have you made that decision in your life today? Because our first point as we prepare in the waiting is that we have to resolve in our hearts. See, there has to come a point in our lives where we say to ourselves, "I'm making a choice to follow God no matter what. If waiting comes, I will follow. If I'm in a storm, I will follow. If I'm in the midst of silence from God, I will follow." The question is, have you made that choice? Because here's what that choice does. Again, looking at Noah, by resolving in his heart that he would follow God no matter what, Noah put himself in a position to hear from God. And when we're in the waiting, sometimes that's what we want more than anything else, is to hear from God. And look what happens next. Genesis 6, 13, the first few words says, "So God spoke to Noah." See, Noah got a chance to hear from God because he positioned himself to hear from God. He positioned himself to hear from God because he resolved in his heart that he was going to follow God no matter what. His family His workplace, everyone around, he's going to follow. No matter what everybody else is doing, no matter what else is happening, Noah said, I'm going to follow God no matter what. He found favor with God, and then God spoke to him. Do you want to hear from God today? Then I would encourage you to put yourself in a position to hear from God. Sometimes we spend our time in anxiety and worry and complaining and comparing and competing, and we're not in a position to hear from God. So how can this happen? Well, look again at Noah. He was blameless before God. He was blameless before others. That's integrity, his reputation. He was faithful in his relationship with God. These are the three things. You have to have that in your life. I have to have that in my life. How does that happen? Well, let me give you some action steps that you might think through to have this happen in your life. I think it starts with repentance. I think we have to come to God and we have to say, God, I'm going to search my heart, but even more importantly, God, I want you to search my heart. I want you to show me the things and the places where I'm distant from you, where I've drifted from you. Maybe you don't even know God, and your repentance is, Lord, I got to stop trying to live life my way, and I need to begin to live life your way. And if you do know the Lord, search my heart, oh God. Seek God's face. And this is an aggressive and this is a passionate pursuit. This is active. This isn't just sitting back and waiting for God to speak. This is me passionately and actively pursuing God's face, spending time praying, spending time listening. Can I encourage you to think about in your prayer life to listen to God as long as you pray to God? In other words, spend as much time praying and telling God what you want, but spend that much time listening as well. And then finally, or last few things, restore your broken relationships. It's Father's Day, and sometimes we think about our relationships with our moms and dads on Father's Day, Mother's Day, days like this, and we can think about our family, and there's tension, and there's brokenness, and all. Fix those broken relationships. Starts with forgiveness. Starts with communication and reaching out, being kind, all of those things. Fix those broken relationships. And then study God's Word, and may I say, what's even more important than studying God's Word is live it out. Apply God's Word to your life. Don't just build up head knowledge, but begin to put it into your life, your feet, and apply it. Because that's where real understanding and real experience with God comes from. So here's the thing. To get prepared in the waiting, here's where we're starting. You got to resolve in your heart. And Pastor Anthony, I know there's more to this than just making a decision. I know there's some other things that are super important, so you're going to tell us about it. So why don't you help us to understand what else we need to do to prepare in the waiting?
You know, those are some great action steps that you just talked about, John. Not only must we resolve in our heart, this is the second step you must do. You must respond immediately. If you looked at the text, you didn't see Noah waiting. You didn't see him thinking. You didn't see him going through the different things in life. It says he put his feet to the plow, or his hands to the plow, rather. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. Right from the get-go, God gives Noah the assignment. He gives him the blueprint. Could you imagine the sweat, blood, and tears that Noah put into this? God gave Noah the blueprint, and he took it to the next step. Look at verse 19 of Genesis 6. It says, you are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you and you will keep alive. Simply put, he went from just being a person who was a builder to now he's a zookeeper. Here he is, he's going out there, he's getting all the animals, he's bringing them into, because he took God at his heart and he actively moved with purpose and precision. Nowhere in the text again that I read that Noah thought about it, nor did he question the commands of God. How do I know that? Because in Genesis 7, verse 1, it says, for I have seen, that's God saying, you are righteous before me in this generation, and Noah did all that was commanded of him by God. God had faith and found faith in Noah. Noah trusted God without all the information, without all the detail. He resolved in his heart and he moved immediately. Look how the Hebrew writer writes it in Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. There, that fear means he reverenced God. He honored God. He was right before God because he pursued God in a mighty way. My question to you is, are you a person who needs to know all the facts? You need to know all the details? All the stars have to line up before you trust and believe in God? Or are you that person that the stars do line up, God gives you the blueprint, and you still don't move in that purpose for your life? Noah did it by faith. He built the ark, he collected the animals, and he entered the boat. What is God asking for you today? Because the truth is, do you need to accept Jesus Christ? Do you need to take your next step with baptism or membership or even joining a small group? What is God silently whispering in your ear that he wants you to move with? Because the truth is, a decision without action equals regret. Many of us had action we were supposed to take, but yet we didn't do it. Now we're living in regret. Or we took the step and then we stopped somewhere along the way, and then we stopped. Now we're in regret. But God wants you to stay committed, stay engaged. Which brings us to step three. You have to remain faithful. You must resolve in your heart. You must take God at his word. But the truth is, you must remain faithful. If Noah was not faithful and he didn't respond, this whole story would have been different. It says in verse 9 again that he was righteous, he was blameless, and he was faithful. When Noah received the instructions from God, from the time he received it to the time it was over, it was 100 years.
Yes.
Imagine that. I want you to get that in your mind. 100 years. Noah built the ark. He followed God by design. And I'm pretty sure he thought like, is this true? Did I really hear from God? Should I take this step? What should I do in life? He continued to move forward. What about you? Many of us can't stay faithful for one day, 1 week, 1 year. We're ready to jump ship. But here it says that Noah remained faithful year after year after year. And I'm sure he had countless days where he was thinking, where he was wondering. He probably got frustrated, got irritated. But he continued to do what God called him to do. And I've heard it said before that life's complicated, Pastor Anthony. You just don't understand it. But Noah's life was also complicated. Let me give you some of his descriptors. Noah was married. He had 3 children. He became a construction worker. Now he's a zookeeper. Oh, did I forget to tell you that now he's a preacher? Just that alone scares me as being a preacher. Look at 2 Peter 2:5. It says, he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on the ungodly people. That's God. He says, but he protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Despite all that was going on, despite all the commands and demands in life, Noah remained faithful. He stayed engaged. He stayed committed, and he stayed the course. But what's funny about Noah's life, Noah did not know the magnitude of God's plan nor the purpose for his life until after the flood. Look at Genesis 9:1. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. God blessed Noah and recommissioned him to fill the earth. That was his new assignment. And because of Noah's obedience, you and I are here today. Many people are depending on you. Where are you at with your walk, and how are you doing in the waiting? Are you preparing in the waiting, or are you sitting around on your hands staring at the wall? God wants you to move forward with action, with purpose. And that looks different for many people. Some have to get through that staying sober and staying off substance abuse, but that's one day at a time. Some need to stay committed to relationships. That's also one day at a time. Some need to stay committed to their education. Some need to continue to love their boss or their coworkers until that next blessing comes with that next job. Everything is one day at a time. Are you trusting and walking with God in that purpose? Everything comes with a price. Nothing is received and achieved without sacrifice. You and I need to trust God and move in the process. Mm-hmm. Now, Pastor John, when we were speaking earlier, before we really got and dived into the message, you was telling about an example in your life, an experience that you had to encounter. Yeah. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, it was, basically in about 2015, I left Sunrise Church. I was on staff and I left Sunrise Church, really for all the wrong reasons. I mean, I think what became clear from my experience was that I left for the wrong, for me, I made a lot of great statements that sounded good about why I was leaving, but what it boiled down to was, you know, I wanted to go and be a big dog somewhere and be a lead pastor and show everybody what I could do because I thought I knew as much or better than everyone else. And and so I took a position at a small church and I went out, and it took me all of about 11 months to get fired. It was really a tough time because I got pulled into an office after a Sunday message, not expecting it, and was let go. And in a moment, my whole world kind of crashed. And I really spent the next 3 years of my life out of ministry. For the first several months, even unemployed. At one point, I even, just to take a job because I couldn't get traction back at another church, found a job knocking on doors and being a salesman, a door-to-door salesman. So here I was with my two college degrees and all that student debt, knocking on doors, humbling myself just to make a living, to scratch out a living. And something happened in the course of that time where my wife kind of came back to me and shared with me a little bit about what we should be doing next. Because I was sort of sitting back and thinking, well, I'll just passively wait here, maybe throw out a few resumes, somebody's going to call, I'll get another job at a church. But God was teaching me something in that moment, because what had happened was that somewhere along the way, my story had drifted from being about God to being about me. Somewhere along the way, my ministry even did not become, it no longer was about serving God out of joy and out of my relationship with Him. It became serving God out of what it got for me. And God broke me of that. And he really, through what was humiliating, humbled me. And my wife said something to me that I remember my mom saying to me whenever I would get in trouble. She's like, we got to go back home. And I remember being out playing, and, you know, and I would say or do something, and my mom always seemed to hear, even though she was in the house and I was outside. And she would just yell, like, get in the house. And in a sense, when I asked my wife, I said, well, where's home for us? She said, Sunrise Church. And I wasn't really excited about going back because I knew if I went back, I was going to have to hear two questions that I wasn't too crazy about answering. One was, hey, how's it going at the other church? Because people would assume I'm visiting. And I didn't really want to have to tell that story. Well, you know, I'm not there anymore. I got fired. Or the second question is, well, are you coming back here now? Are you on staff here? And I wasn't going to be on staff at Sunrise either at that time. So I really just had to come and quietly sit within the rows of the church on Sundays and kind of listen and then leave. And eventually guys like Pastor Dave Gomez and you, Pastor Anthony, and even as Pastor Steve came on, began to invite me into ministry and doing more things. And in the course of time, God restored me. I got a position offer. I'm here today because of that. The thing I want to point out, though, is that my wife even encouraged me to not stay passive in that time, to be active. And because of the resolve in my heart that I made a long time ago where I said, God, I'm going to serve you no matter what, because I made a resolve to say, Lord, I'm going to help build your kingdom as you lead me. I couldn't quit on that. You know why? Because God had not quit on me. In fact, God was very active in my life, even though he was silent. He was very active. And sometimes we don't hear God, but we can see him if we're looking. And here's kind of my point to this. All of our lives are telling a story. All of our lives are telling a story. But the question is, what story are we telling? Is the story about us? Are we the star of our story? Is the story something from the world? Is that the star of the story? Or is our story, is the star of our story God? As a matter of fact, that's kind of our final point that I wanted to make today is that we need to learn to live God's story. Sometimes we would talk about, well, I'm living my best life. I'm living. How about if we live God's life? How about if we live God's story? Noah did this because in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, it says that then Noah built an altar to the Lord after he exited the ark. And he took some of the clean animals that God had instructed, and he basically sacrificed burnt offerings to the Lord. And in the midst of that, God smelled that aroma, and then he made a promise as a result. And what I'm saying to you is this, because of Noah's preparation, as Pastor Anthony said earlier, he made an impact on future generations. I don't know if you realize this, but we're all here because of Noah. We're all here because God didn't wipe everybody out on that day. That God actually saved one family, and from that one family, the rest of the earth was repopulated, and we're here today as a result. Because Noah's story, is part of a larger story that points to Jesus. And what I want to do is I just want to show you a little bit and ask you to think about this when we talk about Noah and Jesus. See, Noah's resolve to follow God's instructions is a preview of Jesus following God's instructions in the garden. See, Jesus had a time in his life when he wasn't sure about this whole cross thing. But he said a statement. He said, not my will, but yours be done, he said to the Father. And he went to the cross, not because it was easy or comfortable or even may have been his best or his first choice, but because he was following God. He made a resolve in his own heart. Noah's offering salvation from a flood with an ark is a preview of Jesus offering salvation from sin and death through a cross. Noah's family exiting the ark is a preview of Jesus exiting the tomb and resurrecting. And then what's even the best part is that Noah's new life after the flood is a preview of our new life in Christ. The caveat is this: we have to make that resolve. For some of you, that resolve is to make a decision to follow God for the first time. And one of the things that I want to encourage you to do is make that decision. Just like Joshua would say, for me and my house, we will choose the Lord this day. I'm asking you on this Father's Day to choose for you and your house, whether you're a dad or not, whether you're male or female, young or old, to make this choice. If you've never made a decision for Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to do that. I also want to invite you, if you've known Christ, you've been around, you're someone who goes to church, to make a resolve that you're going to say, I'm not just going to follow God, but I'm going to follow God no matter what. And then when God speaks, I'm going to position myself to hear, and when God speaks, I'm going to do it immediately. And as I do that, I'm going to remain faithful, I'm going to stay in it, I'm going to endure. And as a result, you will get a story that is your life, that is God's story, that he wants told to others. And that's what we want to encourage you to be about. Now let me come back to those I said that maybe you've never received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. At Sunrise, we talk about the ABCs of receiving Christ. You know, the A is to admit that you have a need. The most important thing that we can do in life is just to admit we need some help. And all of us, because of our sin and our wickedness and our hearts, and I don't have to convince you because you know yourself and I know myself and we all fail and I failed and you failed, we need Jesus. And so we have to first admit that we have that need. And then secondly, we have to believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of that need. There's a lot of things out there in our culture that will tell you, oh no, this is the way to salvation, or this is the way to life. Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He earned that by going to a cross and then resurrecting after his death. And he offers to each of us, but do we believe it? Do we believe it? Do we put our trust in it? And then finally, will we commit our lives to him? Will we say, yeah, I'm gonna follow you, Jesus, no matter what? If you will, I would just like to pray real quickly for you. If you're sitting in your home and you're listening to this, it's really just a matter of praying. It's just a matter of saying in your heart that you're ready to follow God. Would you pray with me along with me? Lord, thank you for this message today. Thank you for the story of Noah. Thank you that you would have such love for me that you would tell me that I need you, God, that I have sin in my life, that there's a need for me to repent, repenting meaning that I'm going to turn away from one way of life to another. Father, I want to give you my life today. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe that his death on a cross gives me a chance to be forgiven of my sins and to have a new way of life. And I want to commit my life to you no matter what. And Father, I choose to remain faithful to you as I move forward. If you prayed that prayer even now in this moment, or even if you didn't but you're thinking about it, we have some steps for you that we want you to do. But before we do that, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Anthony.
You know, John, it's so true about that. Your story was so amazing. And many out there believe that the life of a pastor, he's perfect. Nothing's wrong with him. We have sin in our lives. We have issues in our lives. And again, God wants us to take that step. So where are you at with your walk? Are you waiting well? Or are you doing everything on your own accord? Are you in your own story, or you're part of God's story? God wants to use you in an amazing way. So I want to reiterate what Pastor John said. What's your next step? Is that receiving prayer? I want to encourage you to push that button, that tab. Someone is waiting for you. They would love to pray for you. They would love to hear and read your issues and your comments. Is that your step? Or maybe making a choice to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, I want you to say yes to Jesus in the tab chat. And if you want to take one step further and be bold with it, after service, we're going to have pastors and staff in the Zoom link waiting to have a conversation with you. Don't allow the enemy to steal what God has put in your heart right now. Or lastly, If you want to just email us or call us, you can email us at need@sunrisechurch.org. I guarantee you, we will get with you as soon as we can. We want to have that walk with you. We want to encourage you to keep it going. So again, we just want to say bless you. Mm. Remain strong. Remain committed. We want you to finish well.